Bob, our choir, I want to encourage you, if you haven't, you might want to try the first service sometime. Not only will you hear great preaching, our band is doing excellent. They're just improving every week and worshiping the Lord, and it's just really good. I say band, what we got for, but anyway, for me, that's a band. I'm from the Boston days when you took three people and you made a whole concert out of it. So anyway, Boston was a rock group in the 70s and 80s. Good night. I'm out of my league here or something. I want you all to realize how important it is to be a praying church. You know, we take it for granted sometimes that we pray, but I think probably if the truth was known, we don't pray enough away from here. And we probably don't pray enough while we're here. Put those two together, you find out we just don't pray enough, right? So we want to be a praying church. And these are just a few that we want to lift up in special prayer today. George Young. George has been transferred, and this is great news. He's been transferred to Health South. What was Health South now, but he is in rehab now. So he's got through all this COVID issue and all the issues he's been in. And I'm not sure, but has he been in there a month? It's been at least a month. Been at least a month in intensive care and then some time after that, but now he's moving along and we're tickled for that, but keep praying for George. Vernon has some kidney stone issues. Vernon Patrick, he's been struggling through that for a week now, going on a week, so won't you remember him, lift him up in your prayers. Ethel Lee Phillips, which is Doris's sister, has had a lot of complications from some other surgery that she needs prayer for. Carly is doing well. I texted her a couple of times this week, and she texted back thanking us for the prayers as the church, but telling me that she's doing very well right now, so we're very happy for her. I want you to keep praying for Clara. She's down at Vanderbilt, I think, is still at Vanderbilt. I know she was there earlier in the week, but she's still struggling with this infection problem, and we're just asking the Lord to fix that and heal that. Talked to Brenda DePue last night. A lot of y'all know Brenda, but she was coming to our church very regularly before COVID, but then Brenda's had a couple of cancer issues and now has just found out this week that there's a possibility, a very strong possibility, that she has bone cancer. So she's going to have some scans this week and some more testing. So I want you to remember her. Lift Brenda up in your prayers. And then Mark, of course, a lot of y'all know Mark. Mark's my little buddy. Down in near Miami now, but to you, I was talking to him and his ex-wife last night, and Mark's not doing very well. And just want you to be praying in these days that Mark knows how close the Lord is. Mark was saved just a little less than a year ago. Asked the Lord to be his Savior, and like I told you, we were able to baptize him here one day. A few friends came and just a few of us got together and we were able to see Mark follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And I'm excited for him. He's got some days ahead of him that I'm looking forward to. Mark's going to be with our King and that's going to be a good day. But I want you to also remember Eileen in your prayers and Harold and Ron and Gary as they take care of Ron and Gary are taking care of both parents right now. And I know it's hard, but they're doing a wonderful job. But do need to be in prayer for them. And this is something we ought to always pray for, the churches that are around us that we love, and this is by no means a minimal list, but this is a list that we wanted to bring to you and pray often, pray for the remnant, and Dr. Tony Crisp and Karen, we want to pray for Higher Ground, and Brother Ronnie Owens, lifting him up each day, State Line, and the only reason I didn't put Ronnie's wife's name here is, to be honest, I don't know what it is. So we'll pray for Ronnie Owens and Miss Owens. There you go, that works. Judy. Okay, thank you very much. So remember, Ronnie Owens and Judy, State Line, we're going to be praying for Tony Kilgore and Donna as they minister down there, and especially today, they lost their deacon last night, passed away in the midst of the night, but Tony and Donna are doing a great job down there. Just want to lift them up. Bloomingdale Baptist, Brother Phil Whittemore and Lisa, and the Oaks Church out in Denver, where Derek Sherfy's serving, and Kayla, but we also have Michaela and Gabe out there now. And a pretty neat thing that they're doing in that work in Denver, a place where the gospel's needed desperately. So I'm excited about all those. So I want you to join me in praying today for those. But you know, prayer ought to always begin by praising the Lord. We miss that sometimes. We want to pray and ask God to do this for this one, this for that one. Well, you know, when people are sick, God is already aware of that. We all do know that, right? But we want to make sure that we're a people who praise Him, who thank Him, and who glorify His name. So let's pray together as we begin our day of worship. Father, how we thank You for a day that we can come to the Creator of the universe, the Creator of every atom that is in this massive universe, and Lord, the Creator of everyone who sits in these pews and stands in this pulpit on this morning. Father, how I thank You that because You are our Creator, we should and can worship You. And thank You, Lord, for being a God who takes care of us not only in bringing us into this world, but sustains us while we're in the midst of this world. And Lord, how we worship You for being a God who's so imminent in our life that You have prepared a place for us with Your own hands, a place eternal in the heavens where one day, because of our faith in Jesus, Your Son, our Savior, and our God, we can go and be there throughout eternity. But Lord, we praise You too that in the midst of this life, You allow people like us, fallible though we are, sinful though as we are, but You allow us, Lord, to be a part of Your kingdom here on this earth by the new birth. And You allow us, Lord, to do that work of drawing others to know You and being able to share the truth about You with others. And Father, we pray that You'd anoint this church and through the works of this church and the words of this church and through the life and the love of this church, Lord, that we might be able to go out into this world and share the good news of the gospel. Lord, not just that You did send Your Son to die in place of these and for their sin. Not only that He was buried and that He did rise from the dead, but Lord, help us to remember that You've given us an opportunity in the midst of this life to enjoy it like we never could apart from You. And Lord, in the midst of loving You, help us to love those around us. And Lord, to be the salt and light that You've called us to be. We thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You for Tony, who came today to follow You in believers' baptism. We thank You, Lord, that You're blessing us and helping us. Lord, that You just do the great works that You're doing here in the midst of this church for these young people. Lord, how we praise You for them. And we thank You, Lord, even today that we're able to baptize. And Father, praying that every day for all of us would be days of looking forward with great anticipation of seeing You for the first time. And Lord, between now and then, being used by You in a way that brings You glory. We thank You, Lord. We pray today in a very special way for our nation. We pray for President Joe Biden. We pray for Vice President Harris. We pray for our Congress and our senators. We pray, Lord, for the judges on the seats all across this nation, and especially for those in the Supreme Court. We pray, Lord, that You'd do a great work of revival in the midst of this nation. Lord, help us to know that politics cannot bring revival, but revival can change politics. So, Lord, bless this day with us and with these others. Bless these mighty churches that we've called out by name today and the pastors that stand in their pulpits. Be with us here at Gravely, Lord, and help us to be a church of power, a church of grace, and a church of love. We ask all this in the mighty, matchless, and eternal name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And to that, all God's people would say, amen. I want you to turn with me in 1 Peter. And we're going to read a few verses here today, verses 17 through 21. Go back one there, Mike, if you don't mind. I want you to notice the title today. It's very important. The greatest transaction the world will ever see. And I want you to keep that in your mind as we travel through the verses today. Notice in verse 17 that the Holy Spirit, through Peter, says, "If you address as Father the one who impartially judges, according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." Father, for just a few moments this morning, I just pray that You'd steal our hearts and our minds and help us to think about Your words. Lord, help me to preach with the power of heaven. Help us to do things in the power of Your Spirit. And help us to live our lives for the glory of Your name. And we ask it all in that name that's above all names. and amen. Notice the very beginning, he says, if you address as Father. This talks about the results of the relationship that we have that's been described in the verses that have led up to this. The results of the relationship are this. We have a Father in heaven who has made us part of his family. Now, friends, you've got to remember this. You've got to realize this, and I think you've got to take this out with you. One of the great things that we have about our testimony of faith and our theology, our understanding of the doctrinal truths that lay within God's holy word is this. When you're saved for eternity. God doesn't save you and then fumble the ball. God doesn't save you and then one day say, oh, shoot, I didn't see that coming. God doesn't save you to lose you. God saves you not only to keep you, but here's where it gets sweet, glorious, and beyond refute. When he saves you, he makes you part of his family. Now, friends, the fact of even fallible humanity is this. When a person is born, their parents are their parents throughout their life. Now, you say, now, wait a minute. I know some parents that abandon their children. Doesn't matter. Those parents are still the parents of that child they brought into this world throughout their life. Now, yes, we don't see a perfect and beautiful picture of humanity in parenthood so many times. I know people that have been horrible daddies. I know women that have been horrible mothers. I know mothers and fathers who weren't at all what they should have been to their children, but that doesn't take away from the fact that there was a plan, and it was God's plan for them to be everything that child needed apart from God himself. See, this is where we've got to get to. The realization is this. Though we might see flawed images in humanity, we see the perfection of those images in God Almighty. And when God brings you into his family and makes you his son or his daughter, makes you his very offspring, from that time and forevermore, you will be that and you will never cease to be that. That's just the way it is. Now you say, now wait a minute, I know a lot of Free Will Baptists, I know a lot of Pentecostals, I know a lot of Apostolics, I know a lot of Methodists and Catholics. I know people that say that once you're saved, you can lose your salvation. Well, I do too, and they're wrong. I'm sorry, you say, well, now you're just being narrow-minded. No, I'm being biblically minded, and that's where we all need to get. See, let me tell you something. If God could save us and then lose us, there's not a person in here that would be saved today. Because you see, there's not a person in here that deserves what you have or could maintain what you have. No, see, here we say that if you address him as Father, that's what the Holy Spirit's using Peter to say to us, since you can do this, since you can call the God of all heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, since you can call on them as Father, because of that, I know that you belong to heaven. I'm reading a book right now that I'd encourage anybody to read, and it gets a bit technical at times and a bit tenuous at times, but it's by a man named Peter Kreeft, and it's just titled Heaven. And he says something in this, you'll be so proud of your pastor here, because he says something in that I have thought for a long time. We talk about the massiveness of the universe in which we have found ourselves to be on this little terrestrial ball called Earth, right? Peter Kreeft believes, as I believe, I'm validating Peter Kreeft here, honey, just in case you're wondering. No, I've not. Okay, I've sinned. I'm sorry. But it's something I have believed. Listen, what you see in this universe is just a little microcosm of what heaven will be. And as a matter of fact, all of this universe is very finely fitted within heaven. Now, if you don't believe that, give me a better explanation. I don't think you'll come up with one. The fact of the matter is, heaven is not only there, it's here. See, this is where we're missing it. We're looking for that sweet by and by when we gather this place and get in the presence of God. I got news for you, believer. You're already in the presence of God. I've got news for you, doubter. You're already in the midst of heaven. No, it's not like it should be down here, but trust me, one day it will be. because heaven's going to invade and crush all that opposes God, and one day we will see everything made like it ought to have always been. See, this is what it means when you address the one who made everything as Father. You say, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. Are you saying that God is the creator of everything? Yes. You say, wait a minute. What about evil in this world? I just said God is the creator of everything. He says that in His Word. You say, now, wait a minute. Are you saying He created evil? He created that which becomes evil. Yes, He did. And He is in control of that which becomes evil as well. See, you can't ever forget that, friends. He's not out of control just because you see people doing heinous things in our society. He's not out of control just because you see politics not going the way you particularly think they ought to. He is not out of control because there are starving children on the continent of Africa. He is not out of control, and He will one day make it all right. But our God is a gracious God. And because He is a gracious God, evil must continue for a while. Think about it this way. I guarantee you everybody in here knows somebody that you love dearly that is not saved. And if God were to call it all off today, then that lost person, that unsaved friend, family, or lover that you have, that person would immediately find themselves absent from the body and away from the Lord. God's a gracious God. And a good God, because He wants His family to increase. And when He says, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges, He's saying something big there. Notice what I've got on the screen. You have a new relationship. You can call God your Father. When Jesus taught His disciples to pray, I've said this many times, but it's something you got to get a hold of. When they said, Lord, teach us to pray, He said, okay, pray like this. Our Father. Now, friends, I'm not trying to be blasphemous. I'm not trying to be anything at all other than biblical. But here's something that you find in those two little words. When you hear Jesus say, our Father, first of all, He puts you in the same position that He is in, Jesus. And He recognizes the relationship between the Creator of everything to be the same with us. Our Father. The one who Jesus called Father, the one who is God of all things, is the one who we can call Father. You have a new responsibility too. You get to work for your Father. Now friends, I don't know if you've realized this or not, but to work for your daddy would be the best gig you could get going. Right? You say, now wait a minute, my dad would be hard to work with. Not if he's biblical. No, you see, because the real Father you have who has employed you is the one, again, who created everything. The God who's over everything. The God who's able to do anything. What can God do? Whatever is reasonable and needs to be done, that's what God can do. You say, well, now wait a minute. Can God make a rock so big that He can't pick it up? That's a stupid question. God doesn't deal with stupid questions. But God will deal with stupid people. Every one of y'all to said amen right then. That's not just a statement for preachers. That's for all of yous, right? No. You also have a new realization. You understand who He is. Friends, how many of you sit during the week just at some time and just think about God? I would venture to say very few of you do, and all of us should. Because when you start thinking about God, you start realizing some marvelous, glorious, and mighty things. This is a God who's bigger than everything you can see, but who will compact Himself to the size of your heart. See, God will take up residence within you. The God of all creation. The God who spoke every one of the galaxies into existence. The God who named this solar system that we're in the very place where He would put His highest level of creation, humanity. And now, wait a minute, preacher. I think one day they'll find aliens out there. Bless your heart. No, they're not going to find aliens out there. I'm convinced of that. And the reason I'm convinced of that is because of this. You see, God told us everything that we need to know, and if aliens were going to come one day and invade this planet, I think He'd have let us know. You say, well, now, wait a minute. What about these people that have seen aliens and seen spaceships? Could I add to that that have seen demons? Now, people don't like this, but if you'll talk to people that say they've been taken out of this world and taken up into spaceships, if you'll talk to them long enough, you'll find something greatly lacking. And what's greatly lacking is the faith in the true God. People don't like this. They don't like this kind of preaching. They don't like this kind of language. I've got a family member who's a cousin married to my cousin, but he knows that he saw alien spacecraft. Yeah, he probably hopes that there is alien spacecraft. He probably hopes that there is no God, because if he keeps living his life like he's living it, he's going to go to hell. He doesn't know God. He hates God. Can't stand the thought of God. Stood at a funeral one day talking about God from the Bible, and he was about to have a conniption. You know what a conniption is? It's when a person who have ordinarily sane body and spirit goes nuts. Now, he couldn't stand it because I was talking about the fact of heaven and the fact of a Savior and the fact of the necessity of knowing that Savior so you could go to that heaven. I want you to hear what else it says, and leave that right there if you don't mind. Leave that on the screen. Let me read the verse again. If you address as Father, the one who impartially judges. So right there, you've already found out two things. God wants to be your relative. Not just your creator, but your father. He wants to bring you into his family. But not only that, he is the one who impartially judges according to each one's work. Now here's where Southern Baptists go plumb bananas. I don't believe in that old work salvation. Let me read that again. I must have missed something. Let's see. If you address as Father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear. Okay. I don't see anything there about salvation. What I see there is what should be the outcome of salvation. A person who loves the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, and with all their strength. Because when that happens, guess what? You want to serve him. It's not something the preacher or the search committee or the whatever committee I'm trying to think of. I can't even, my mind's gone blank. But whatever it is that I'm trying to say, when that committee has to come to you and say, would you please consider doing X, Y, or Z? You know what? They ought to be flooded with requests from people saying, is there any way you could let me do X, Y, or Z? Because you see, I want to serve the Lord through his church. Because that's how you ought to serve the Lord. It's through his church, within his church, and for his church. We're not talking about salvation, but we are talking about a judgment that we talked about weeks ago that every Christian will endure one day in the presence of God. And friends, sadly, some of us are going to be in heaven and we're going to find out we didn't do a daggone thing for him, even though he did everything for us. So you're fussing at us. No, I'm not fussing at you. But I don't think you can say what I'm saying is not true. Listen to this. I forgot what's up there. Yeah, here's what I wanted to get to. Now hear this. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. Now here's another place where people of grace sometimes fly off the rails. Well, I don't think you ought to be afraid of God. Honey, why would you not be afraid of God? I mean, my goodness. Let me tell you something. He's the one who knows what you're going to mess up in this afternoon before you leave the sanctuary this morning. Why would you not be afraid of the one who knows everything about you? The one who is able to righteously judge you and throw you into hell. Right? I mean, don't forget that. If judgment was all we'd get, we'd all go to hell. But I'm thankful that we get judgment tempered with grace. But that doesn't minimize or negate the fact that we should be people who do the works of the Lord in a visible way so that we might share our testimony not only with our mouth, but with our love. Fearing God has two aspects that I want you to make sure you remember. Biblical fear of God is to hold him in dread and terror. Now, don't miss this, friends. I've said this often, but it's something you really got to get a hold of. You're not going to go to heaven and run toward God. Suddenly, whenever and however it happens, you're going to find yourself in his presence. And best I can tell from the biblical account, the most holy people that ever confronted him or were confronted by him couldn't do anything but fall down and hide. And it'll be no less for you and me. Now, when we finally see this God who not only created everything, but did everything necessary to save people like us, we won't be able to do anything for a long time but fall down and bawl our eyes out and thank him. And thank him. And the glorious thing is we can start doing that right now. But biblical fear is also to hold him in all reverence, holiness, power, knowledge, wisdom, judgment, and wrath. You say, so which is it? It's both. You should fear God with everything you have. As a matter of fact, God is the only one you should fear. You shouldn't be afraid of the devil. But let me tell you something about the devil. Let me tell you how weak the devil is. The devil can't make you do a daggone thing that you don't already want to do. He can't. He'll say, I'll tempt you at this. Well, if you'll take your eyes off the this, you won't want it no more. I struggle with pornography, preacher. Then quit laying around in it. I have all kinds of issues. Then get away from the things that cause you issues. Did you know that there are some people you ought to get out of your life? And some of them's your family. Now you're saying, wait a minute, my family. Oh, I can't do away with Meemaw. I can't. Listen, if Meemaw's a pagan and she's leading you down a wrong path, you need to get away from Meemaw. You can still love her, but you don't need to lay around and drink moonshine with her. Say, but mommy's had a recipe for that for years. It don't matter where she got her recipe. Bless your hearts. We're funny about Meemaw, ain't we? There's not a Meemaw in hell today, is there? Yeah, there's a, trust me on this, brother, there's a bunch of them there. Yeah, I met some of them. Well, let's move on. Okay, listen to the reason for the relationship. You need to see this too. Verse 18 in this same text says, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Now, I've been trying to think all week how to explain this, and the only thing I come up with breaks my heart. But I'm going to tell you, and I want you to put this in your thinking. I really do. Have you ever seen the little ASPCA commercials on TV? ASPCA is the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. I can't watch it. When it comes on, I flip it off. But I watched it one day. I made myself watch it one day. And you're saying, now, wait a minute, what's this got to do? Well, just hang with me and bear with me just a minute, and I think you'll get it. I was watching those poor little animals that had been so horribly treated by humans. You do realize animals treat each other pretty good, don't they? I mean, they do. But then you get these humans sometimes that get their kicks on treating little animals bad. They do horrible things to them. I was watching that one day, and I saw a little chihuahua. I'm took up with little dogs. And I saw a little chihuahua. It was one of the bigger ones, but it was still a chihuahua. And the little chihuahua had a logging chain around its neck. And the poor little fellow was face down in the mud and couldn't get up because of the chain that held him. You say, how horrible. It got good. Guess what? Because that little chihuahua was being filmed with a log chain around its neck, face down in mud, I know this, a rescuer had come. Do you know it? Now that little chihuahua got that log chain off its neck, got out of that mud, and is today in a home where people love it and care for it. Say, what's that? How's that relate to us? As much as that breaks my heart, it ought to break my heart more to realize that humanity is in the same position. We're face down in the mud with a logging chain around our neck that we can't get off and we can't get up because of. And we have no hope unless a rescuer comes. Man, this is where I wish I could dance, because I would, son. I'm just afraid I'll throw my hip and my knee out, so I won't. But here's a fact. The rescuer has come. And his name is Jesus. And everything that the old devil had wanted to do to this poor little old chihuahua-looking fella named David Sally, putting him face down in the mud, putting a logging chain on his neck where he couldn't get up and had no hope, the rescuer came and took all that off, put it on himself, went face down in the mud for me, and died. You see, the only way the little chihuahua can get up is when one who is able and willing will come and do the work. You know, you say, well, I think I'll give to ASPCA. Well, that's good, but you know, unless somebody will put their feet on the ground and go to the places where the little animals are being hurt, it won't matter how much money you give. It still takes a rescuer to go, right? Too many people are trying to buy their way into heaven with their good works before they've ever come to faith in the rescuer who has come, the only one who's able and the only one who's willing to take your place. Not only relieve you of the burden, but get in it because of you and get in it where you were and endure what it was intended to do, and that was to take you to death. Did you know that Jesus even went to hell? Now that's in the creeds. He descended into hell, the Nicene Creed. But it's also in the Scriptures. That's why it's in the creeds. People say, I don't believe the Lord went to hell. Well, you need to read your Bible. Bless your independent Baptist heart. I'm not trying to make a following. I'm trying to preach the Word. See, friends, this is what's beautiful. Verse 18 says that you were not redeemed with perishable things, with money that goes away, with even gold and things that can be crushed and blown away, with anything that's perishable. No, you were redeemed with the precious blood of God Himself. Friends, this is why it's so, so very important that we preach, teach, and live the gospel. And show the gospel to a lost and dying world, because they're in desperate need of the one we know. The greatest transaction the world will ever see is displayed right here. A payment was made that really the world looks at and says, that makes no sense. But God looked at and said, it's the only way. You see, because if our salvation, our granting, being granted access to heaven, were contingent upon what we could do or what we could pay, when we see the glory of it, we'll realize we could have never attained it. It took something of unimaginable worth, and that was the blood of God. When little Andy Stanley and some of these little fellers say we need to get away from that old bloody religion, please remind yourself, this old bloody religion is all we have. If you take the blood out of it, there's no remission of sin. If you take the blood out of it, there's no atonement and making you right in the presence of God. If there's no blood, Christ didn't die. And if there's no blood, we're without hope. But I've got good news for you. The blood has been shed, and it was shed finally. Never again will our Lord go to the cross. We may have to, and that will be okay. Because if we go and we suffer even the horrible, ignominious death on a cross, even if we hang suspended between heaven and earth for 3 or 4 days while the literally vultures come and pick out our eyes and tear our skin as it rots, that moment we leave this earth and see Him, it'll be worth it. Because heaven is truly our home. Notice what he says in closing. Verse 20, for he was foreknown, talking about Jesus. He and the Father have been in continual relationship. He, the Father, and the Holy Spirit have been in continual relationship from eternity past, for he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. See, he wants us to understand, like he said in verse 17, during the time of your stay on earth, he wants us to realize that that stay on earth is fleeting and the end of it's coming, right? For every one of us. I'm 62 years old. Chances are very strong that I'm 3/4 of the way through my life. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing, because I've got heaven ahead of me and an opportunity to serve the God of heaven while I'm down here. Have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? You know, I really do think that every church ought to give an invitation. I think that we ought to be graced because of friendships and fellowships and families that maybe we see lost people come in. And when we do, hallelujah. But if you're lost here and undone today, none of this will make sense to you until you give your life to Jesus. The Bible makes it very clear you won't understand the words. I don't think you'll understand really the preaching until God himself works in your heart. But he might be working in your heart today and showing you the fact that you need to be saved. And if you're lost, honey, please be saved. There's no reason for you to go to hell, but hell's a reality. And if you leave this world without Jesus, you say, and you might say, in this multicultural society we found ourselves in, this relativistic society we found ourselves in, you'll find people say, well, I think as long as you're a good person, and as long as you, or even religious, and as long as you know, if you just believe, you'll be all right. It, very clearly right there it says, and you can't miss this, he says without any equivocation that it's through Jesus that we can know God. And Jesus said himself, there is no way to the Father unless you come through me. So lost man, lost woman, lost boy, lost girl, come today and know Jesus. You say, why do I have to come forward? Well, it's important to make a public profession of faith. I don't think anybody in here, I don't think any Calvinist would say any different from that. Bless their hearts, they're mixed up on a bunch of things, but they're not mixed up on that. You've got to be willing to make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just important. If you won't do it in front of a congregation of what's mostly believers, you'll never do it out in the world. And remember, Jesus said, Jesus, the one who you need to be your Savior, said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. And then, church, the invitation's always open for us, isn't it? To begin to be what God's called us to be. To be the one who's going out, not just looking for the little chihuahuas, but looking for that far more exceedingly valuable person who's made in the image of God himself, who God's willing to redeem. But it seems whether you're a Calvinist or an Arminian or whatever you want to call yourself, God saves. Amen? But it seems he doesn't save without a witness. Amen? And the only witnesses that can be counted on to tell the world about him are those who have already been born again. And that's me and you. So today, if there's anything that you need to do during this time of invitation, maybe you need to come today and join this church. This church is a great church. We've got a long way to go too. Amen? We sure aren't where we need to be or want to be. But I hope, I pray, I know we're willing to do what it takes to see people saved and to live a life that the world can look at and see what salvation does. Would you pray with me? Father, today we ask in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, your Son, and our soon coming King, that you would bless this time. Father, even if there's just a decision to make in the pew, let it be made today. But Father, if there are some that need to know you as Savior and Lord on this morning, help them to come to you in faith. And Father, for those of us that are part of your church, help us to have a great desire to do what you've called us to do. Lord, we've heard this morning that we need help. We need help in children's church, something that people ought to be flocking to do. We need help with Awanas. We need help with 180. We need help, Lord. And there are people here that